Let me tell you about my friends and the neighborhood in which we lived. We've all grown up and moved away. Perhaps you live there now. Finding Mr. Thistle. Mary Mary had lost two baby teeth on the same day. They came out and she put them in a little jar her mum had given her to help the tooth fairy. Nobody in the class had lost two teeth on the same day. Her mum and dad were kind about it, but they didn't seem to be doing anything that would ensure she got two new teeth. Mary Mary was a brave girl who liked to make people laugh. She told herself a joke, which made her laugh out loud. She told her dad the same joke on the way to school. She was going to tell the teacher, Miss Goggins, the joke, but she forgot it. Miss Goggins asked the children for news. She often did this as a way to begin the school day. Everybody already knew about her two lost teeth, so Mary Mary said, "My mum says my dad eats like a horse. Is that good, miss?" she asked. Miss Goggins let out a little laugh. "Well, Mary," she replied, "it isn't bad, though your mum might prefer him to eat another way." "What other way, miss?" Mary Mary asked. "Well, less food per bite and more slowly." "Even when he's hungry?" "Even when he's hungry." Miss Goggins didn't want to linger on the subject, but Mary Mary hadn't finished. "He doesn't mind her saying that," Mary Mary added. "He just smiles at me and keeps eating." "I like eating too," the teacher said. "Hands up who likes their food." Everybody in the class put their hand up. Sylvia had her head in her school bag. She was rooting for her sharpener, which had fallen out of her pencil case. When Lolly nudged Sylvia, she took her head out of her school bag and her hand sprung up into the air. Miss Goggins thought that would be an end to the subject and she could begin lessons, but Mary Mary had more to say. "My dad told my mum he didn't mind her saying he eats like a horse," she went on. "He said it ran in the family." "Oh, well," said Miss Goggins with a breezy smile. "There you are. Thank you for sharing that with us, Mary. Now, children, we're going to look at some pictures before we go to the gallery." Mary Mary still wasn't finished. "He didn't say it with his mouth full," she reported proudly. "He waited until he could give a big swallow." "That is good news," said Miss Goggins patiently. "Now, where were we?" "I can't believe you told Miss Goggins about your dad eating horses," Lolly said to Mary Mary at little break. "Me neither," said Sylvia. "No, he doesn't eat horses," said Mary Mary. "You had your head in your school bag when I was telling the class. He eats like a horse." "When he's very hungry," Sylvia added helpfully. "Exactly," said Mary Mary.
"I'd like to see that," Sylvia said.
"All right," said Mary Mary. "I'll ask if we can watch." "Would you?" said Lolly. "Okay, I will," replied Mary Mary, who put her last whole sandwich finger into her mouth. She had already eaten all of the food in her lunchbox. There was nothing left for the school trip to the gallery. "Yum, yum," said Mary Mary through the big lump of bread and cheese she still had in her mouth. Lolly and Sylvia laughed. Mary Mary laughed too, which is a difficult thing to do with your mouth full. The children filed onto the coach. The steps up were nice and deep. The windscreen was enormous and the driver was funny. He even made Miss Goggins laugh. The coach was very long and the seats were tall and the safety belts rolled out smoothly and made a satisfying click when they were buckled. Lolly and Sylvia sat together and Mary Mary sat across the aisle from them. The coach took up most of the lane that led to the school. That made the journey enjoyable from the start. The brakes made a pleasing pshht air noise when the coach stopped. The children could see over walls and hedges. They could see into upstairs windows. They could see the roofs of cars and the tops of people's heads. As they made their way into the city, Robin put his hand up. "Miss Goggins?"
"Yes, Robin?"
"Do we have to do a sing-song?"
"No," said Miss Goggins.
"People do sing-songs on buses," Robin said, "and they do quizzes and some do whistling."
"They do sometimes," said Miss Goggins. "You can sing if you like, Robin." Robin shook his head fiercely. "No thanks, Miss Goggins." He was relieved that there would be no organised sing-song, no organised quizzes, and no organised whistling. As the coach passed the local park, Lolly put up her hand. "Miss Goggins?" "Yes, Lolly?" "Will there be time after the gallery to go to the playground?"
"No, Lolly, there won't."
"Thank you, Miss Goggins," said Lolly. The coach crossed a canal bridge where the children saw three swans lingering at the water's edge. Sylvia put her hand up. "Miss Goggins?" Miss Goggins, who was sitting at the front of the coach, was having to stretch her neck a lot today. "Yes, Sylvia?"
"Can we have a picnic by the canal?"
"No, Sylvia, we can't."
"Thank you, Miss Goggins," said Sylvia. Mary thought she should ask something too. She told Lolly and Sylvia that when she was older she might ride a pony into town. Mary raised her hand. "Miss Goggins?"
"Yes, Mary?"
"Do you have to pay for parking a pony?"
"No," replied Miss Goggins, "but you need to tie them up where they have water and oats and somebody to mind them."
"Thank you, Miss Goggins,"
said Mary. But she had another question.
"Miss Goggins?"
"Yes, Mary?"
"Can Sylvia, Lolly and me go shopping in a department store after the gallery?"
"Shopping?" exclaimed Miss Goggins. "By yourselves?" Her eyebrows rose on her forehead.
"We'd just be looking," said Mary. "Together, our ages add up to 21.
Miss Goggins' eyebrows came down on her forehead to form a frown.
"No chance," she said.
Then she smiled and waved her hand gently in the air.
"There are too many lovely pictures to see in the gallery. We'll want all the time we have, and we'll want to go back for another visit, I'm sure."
Miss Goggins loved the gallery.
"Miss Goggins?"
"Yes, Lolly?"
"We're all looking forward to the gallery."
"Glad to hear it, Lolly."
"Thank you, Miss Goggins,"
said Mary.
"It's a proper adventure," Sylvia added happily.
"It is indeed, Sylvia," said the teacher. As the coach pulled up outside the gallery, Mary caught a reflection in the window and studied the new gaps in her teeth. Who was working to make sure two new teeth would grow in place of her two lost baby teeth? How could she be sure there was anything at all going on in the new teeth department? The children filed off the coach, formed a crocodile, and were led into the gallery by Miss Goggins. In a quiet part of the gallery, there was a door set in the wall. It was not an ordinary door. It was almost a secret door. It was painted the same color as the wall and had no frame. Instead of a normal handle, it had a brass ring that sat snugly in a dimple. There was a small sign that read, "Private." Mary thought she would like to knock on that door, but she was distracted by a fire extinguisher that was hanging at a crooked angle nearby. She tilted her head so that the fire extinguisher was perfectly upright and the rest of the gallery was crooked. Then something happened. The door marked "Private" slowly opened with a little squeak of hinges. "Ooh," said Lolly, who was about to take a naughty bite from her rosy apple. "What's in there?" she whispered.
"I don't think we should go in," whispered Sylvia.
"Come on," said Mary to her two friends. "We'll just take a peek."
The other children were huddled in front of a large painting with rocks and trees and lightning and little people. They were listening to the gallery lady give her talk, which was very interesting. Miss Goggins was standing beside the man in a gallery uniform. The three girls wanted to stay for the talk, but they also wanted to see what lay behind the wall. Nobody noticed Sylvia, Mary, and Lolly slip through the nearly secret doorway. There was a gentle breeze that came from inside. Mary kept her lips sealed in case she made a whistling noise with the new gap in her teeth. The girls stepped into a hushed room with easels and a large table with skinny drawers underneath. It was a workshop where paintings were cleaned and restored. There were special lights and cameras, bottles neatly arranged on shelves, and so many brushes standing together in containers that they looked like furry bushes.
Close that door, please, a man's voice said. There's a bit of a draft.
Lolly closed the door, and the girls inched forwards. There were different smells floating on the air. There was a tang of new varnish and linseed oil, and the lovely faint smell of oil paints. The man's high wooden stool had a curvy back, and there were cushions under his bottom. The stool made a nice squeak when he turned to look at the girls. He was wearing special magnifying glasses, which he pushed up onto his forehead.
"And who are you?" he asked.
Mary bravely introduced herself, Lolly, and Sylvia.
"Do you want to watch?" the man asked.
"Yes, please,"
all three said together.
"You can't stay long," he continued. "Your teacher will be looking for you. Don't tell the others, though. There isn't room for everybody in here."
"What's your name?" Mary asked.
"Thistle," he replied.
Well, that was an unusual name, but then this was an unusual place. Mr. Thistle explained what he was doing. He let each girl look through his special glasses at the surface of the painting that was on his easel. It was a magnificent landscape with people and animals in the foreground. They watched Mr. Thistle paint a little piece of cloud that had fallen away. There had been a small hole in the canvas, which he had filled, he told them, and now he was painting back the cloud.
"Can I have a go?"
asked Lolly. Mr. Thistle laughed.
"I'm afraid not."
"Can I?" asked Mary. Mr. Thistle shook his head and said it was time for the girls to go back into the gallery.
"Are you here just for the day?"
Mary asked.
"We're always at work," he said, "though you don't normally see us."
"Like fairies?"
said Sylvia helpfully. Mr. Thistle chuckled. He looked left and right and leaned towards them. He spoke in a lower voice. "Sometimes I think fairies come in here to watch me at work, but of course I don't turn round to look at them."
"Just as well," said Sylvia.
"Close the door behind you,"
Mr. Thistle said, and lowered his special glasses in front of his eyes. On Friday evening, Mary brought Lolly and Sylvia home to tea. Her dad got her to show him again the gap in her teeth.
"Aha," he said. "Just as I thought, I can see your grown-up teeth."
The new teeth were, indeed, already beginning to show. Mary wondered, should she make a joke? But instead, she found herself thinking about Mr. Thistle. From now on, Mary would remember that there was always somebody or something working behind the scenes, working to fix things, to make things right, and to make teeth grow. That made her feel glad. The three girls watched Mary's dad closely to see if he ate like a horse. The Neighborhood. 9 linked radio stories for children by Philip Davison. Read by Kieran Hines. Produced for RTE Junior Radio by Brian Kenny. Made with the assistance of your license fee.